We are up to page Tzadi Ches. We're up to everyone's favorite topic. Rabbi Sai, we're up to page Tzadi. Rabbi Sai, okay, we're up to Tzadi Ches. Page Tzadi Ches, Halacha, Pei Dalet. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Tzadi Ches. Tzadi page Tzadi Ches Halacha Pei Dalet. We're up to the sugya of kavod, honor. Okay, kavod, K-O-D, kavod on delivery. K-O-D, pay with kavod on delivery. Al tisamach libcha im yichabeducha. If a person is a recipient of kavod, a person is honored, he comes to a makom and they give him honor. Don't get too carried away with yourself. Why? Ki lefia kavod v'hanosh yesho l'odom b'olam hazeh al ma'asav menakin mizchuyosav b'olam haba. Okay, it's a very scary statement, is that if a person receives real honor in this world, it detracts from his rewards in the next world. The only thing, the only type of pleasure in this world that is comparable to the next world is honor, is kavod. Okay, most people don't have to worry about this because the kavod that we get in this world is insincere. It's for ulterior motives. It's not. What?
Even kavod
l'Torah. There's not. When you see people being mechabed, talmidei chachamim. Now you can't take away from the fact that this kavod talmidei chachamim, but it's not always sincere. It's not always sincere. There are many ulterior motives that are mixed into almost all the types of honor we see being given today. That's the way the world works. I'll give you something very, very funny about COVID, about a poem story. Not a poem story, but there was a fellow that once upon a time was phenomenally wealthy. And there were people coming to his home every, on Purim, they were lining up around the block for handouts, for
You told a story once.
To receive money. To receive money. And then what happened? And then he lost his fortune. So no one came, not even a single person came to his house. They needed a security. They needed someone to control the traffic down the block because there were so many people who used to come to this fellow's home for handouts. But now that he declared bankruptcy, he has no money, no one's coming. So he's very sad. He sits at home, Purim, he's very sad. So he has a friend, an old-time friend from childhood, and he sees how he suffers. That his good old buddy is now home alone, and no one's lining up around the block to come for money, to ask for handouts. So he decides he's going to spend this Purim with him to cheer him up. He shouldn't be so sad that no one's coming to line up for money. So they're talking, and as they're talking, he breaks down. He tells them, "Oi, look what happened to me. It used to be I was riding high. People came to me." And then he says, "But I don't understand something. It's true, I don't have money anymore to give these people. But how come no one comes anymore to seek my counsel? I used to come, they used to come for Aitzis. They used to come for my Aitzis. They needed that, like, and now no one's coming. I can't give them money." Okay, so it goes to show how a person fools himself in thinking that the mechabed you for money. I was once put on the spot not that long ago. I found it to be very insightful. I know someone who's very, very wealthy, and I'm friendly with this person. He said, and then someone said to me, "Tell me, I want to ask you a question. This guy, everyone loves him. Tell him, what do you really think? If he had no money, if he was just like a regular guy, like me and you, would he still be so popular? Would he still be so popular as a person?" And I said, I really don't know. He's such a good person, but you have to ask yourself, why do people really want to be his friend? Is it because of the money, or is it because they really like him? You know, you fool yourself. You think you're being mechabed a person because you like the person, he's a good person. But is it really because of the person, or is it because of the money? So it says over there, the thing which is the most similar to the next world is kavod. And a person who receives kavod in this world, you are deducting from your merits in the next world. It's not a good thing to be roidef achar kavod. One more time, these very powerful words.
What about kavod for legitimate reasons? Like kavod for rabbi? Example like that.
So they're not giving you the cover, they're giving the cover to the Torah. You happen to be the office, like the office of the president. You need to be mechabe the person, or you're giving honor to the office. If you carry the mantle of Torah, if you're the Rebbe and you're carrying the mantle of Torah, so when you get the first Ali, when they mechabe you, they give you chazak, they're giving you the covet, or they're giving, since you are the one who occupies the seat of Rabbanus, you are the one who represents the Torah, so that's fine, that's perfectly fine. As long as you recognize, as long as the recipient of the honor is recognizing that the covet is not for, it's not me, it's the office or it's the position which I represent. Me as a person, they couldn't care less about me. If I wasn't the rabbi, I wasn't the I wouldn't get anything special.
For all the work the person got to acquire that, I mean, you're honoring.
You're honoring the person. So sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to serve as an example. There are many Chofetz Chaim. A lot of the Chofetz Chaim was going on the train, and the word got out already when he was towards the end of his life, and the Chofetz Chaim was world renowned at that point. And they were on the train, and it seems like thousands of people came to greet the Chofetz Chaim. And he was with the Ger Rebbe. I think this was the Ger Rebbe. And they wanted him just like to stand up to show his face in order to allow the people to have the pleasure of seeing the Chofetz Chaim. Well, they wanted to carry him somewhere. They wanted to carry him and take him somewhere. So he said, no way, my entire life, I ran away from Kovod. I ran away from kavod. Now, at the end of my life, I'm going to go and I'm going to take kavod. So the Ger Rebbe said, give the people the hana, something along those lines. They traveled so hard. You're going to deny. It's true, you're going to have some kavod, but the people, it's such a hana for them. They've traveled so far, and they want to see you. They want to have the pleasure. If you're not going to give them the opportunity to mechabed you, you're causing them pain. So don't do it for your pleasure. Do it for their benefit. And the Chofetz Chaim gave in. He says, you're right. You're right. It's kedai for me to suffer. To suffer the kavod if this will give these people pleasure. If it's a hana for them, I'll suffer the humiliation of receiving the kavod. Now, only the Chofetz Chaim can say that. Chofetz Chaim, because for him it really was torture to receive this honor. The average person, obviously, it's not a torture to receive the honor, and it's not a lot of pleasure for the people to give the honor, so there's a different type of story.
Yeah, some people who really are very accomplished, they really are. I don't think it's such a terrible thing they should feel honored, and they should, you know...
They're not taking it for themselves. They're using it as a springboard, because society demands that there be people who are honored to serve as a model, to serve as an inspiration for others to follow in these good ways. And if you happen to be that person who has achieved greatness because you are a tzaddik, you're a good person, you have a duty. You have an obligation to receive that honor so that people will emulate you. But the person, obviously, in that level, obviously, when they're giving him their honor, to him, it means nothing. It doesn't have any meaning to them. Oh, you're giving mechabed me. You have to put yourself in their mind. Many times you see these people, they're very elderly people. They know they're not well. They know they're not going to be here in this world much longer. They suffered in their life many, many things. It doesn't mean anything to them. Like I told you, that's with Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman, when they threatened him that if he's not going to upgrade his kashrus, his yeshiva, yeah, they try to blackmail him that you should buy from us. We have a better hashkacha. Mm-hmm. Don't buy from this service. They don't have such a good hashkacha. And we'll reward you if you will change your vendor. We will reward you by giving you honor. He says to me, you're going to give me honor? it means something to me, your honor. I'm a lot older than you, and I come from a different world. I was, what was he, 19, 20 years old. He was the youngest dayan on the Besner of Rav Chaim Oizer, Rav Chaim Oizer Grudinsky. It's something you can't even fathom what that meant to be. That was honor.
That was real honor.
That was real honor.
That was his greatness.
Real honor is the ability to have a job. Real honor is to be able to do something, to give a shiur, to be a mashpia. Not they should dance around you on Simchas Torah. That's not the honor. The honor is the service that you provide. That's the satisfaction. To make a difference in someone's life. That's the honor. The honor is, oh, when you walk in there, they should stand up for you. They should give you the first aliyah. They should make a dinner, and they should give you a plaque and take pictures and put you on the internet. It's a joke. It's bizyonis, a lot of this. A lot of this is just opens up the Pesach for everyone to make litzanis. The real honor is the satisfaction, quietly, shtilahay, that you have done something that has made a difference in this world. That is the real honor. When that's not the real honor, when the person doesn't make a difference in anyone's life, and the only thing that they have to say for themselves is that they got the first aliyah, they honored by a dinner, everyone knows it's a joke. That's not an honor. It's bizarre. It's suffering. A lot of these organizations to be a guest of honor is literally mamish. You die al kiddush Hashem. Like I know first in Chaim Berlin they have a kolel dinner. A kolel dinner. It's not the regular dinner. They have two dinners. They have the regular dinner. They have a kolel dinner. Everyone that's on the kolel dinner is literally taken into a torture chamber. They're tied down, and a gun is put to their head, and they're literally tortured. They're literally tortured. And they say, "Listen, we need the money. We have poor people here in the kolel. We have to raise money. We need a guinea pig. Someone has to be on the invitation." So people will write, giving ads to the journal, and basically they say to them, "You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. And if and you're going to say no, we're just going to suggest, don't argue, play along with it, and it'll be a kapara. It'll be a kapara for you." I know the people. I know the people who were honored, and I know it's like literally torture. Why? The yeshiva said, we need the money. We need to raise the money for the yeshiva. We need a person. That's the way the world goes around. And they couldn't say no. And they viewed it mamish as mamish bezyonis. The suffer, this humiliation of being honored, for real. Now, I can't say that about other types of dinners. I'm talking about this particular dinner. This particular dinner. You know, it's a different, very different.
Oxymoron, because all of them I've seen, the doctor, lawyer, accountant.
I'm not talking about the regular dinner. I don't know what goes on. There are certain.
In the yeshivas, they says, "Oh, you don't, God forbid, you go to college."
Okay, you're going off the topic now. This is another topic. I'm not talking about that. What you're saying is very good. I know what you're saying, but not now. Kavod is a very, very dangerous thing. And the real mechubadim are the ones that it means absolutely nothing to. It really means nothing to them. And unfortunately, they have to suffer the humiliation of receiving kavod because they serve in a certain capacity. They serve as a certain role. And the way the world works is that people have to be inspired to follow in their ways. And they don't have a choice. They have to go in a dignified way. It comes with the territory. And if you'll ask them, what is the pleasure of your life? It's not the kavod. It's the service that they perform. And usually the service they perform, they're very lonely. No one cares. No one knows. They're all alone. And It's very painful, and yet that is the real covet, that they know that they made a difference, they did something which affects other people for the better, and it's done l'shem shemayim, and there's no one out there that even knows what that's the real covet. It just so happens that because they're in that position where they have the ability to involve themselves in these matters, every once in a while, part of the job is they have to get up on the stage and someone has to say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And that part of the job is not something they look forward to and not something that they want or need. And unfortunately, the people who do want that part of the job, those are the people that are not successful. Those are the people that you always see that when the covet gets to them, then you know you're in a lot of trouble. Let's go for these dvarim pshutim ad oyin. Like I say, some of these things we don't need a sefer for. We should really be learning things that are more complicated than this. The hanash sheyesh aladim shel mazel amukamiz amenachim mischiles abalamabo. Next, we're talking about haloi tikin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sheyamdu lechvat shemayim. Didn't we do learn that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sheyamdu? They were misaking that people should stand. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what was this takana of? Oh, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Sheyamdu, Lichvoid Shamayim Asa, people should stand for him. Look over here what it says over here in the parish, on the bottom right. On the bottom right it says, Ratzalaymar, Shetikein Sheyachabdu V'yamdu Mipana Bivao, when he entered into the study hall. When I walk in, you stand up for me. What kind of gaiva is that? You walk and you stand up for me. To teach the children, that's what you're supposed to do. It's not for me. You have to set the tone. You got to set the tone of what Kavod is all about. Bivol v'loma tikin kain. Why did he do so? It wasn't because of his own personal honor. It was for the honor of l'chvoit shamayim asa. L'fi sheikablu sachar they'll receive reward. Al sheikablu moira nisi usay aleihem. The people will receive reward when they will have fear, when they show fear, they will benefit reward. Now, I once heard a story about a certain rabbi. I don't remember which rav this was. It was a certain rav, not in America. I don't know where, in Poland. I don't know where in Europe, where he was able to go to the shul to the Beis HaKnesses in a shortcut, right to a back alley again to the Beis HaKnesses in 1 second. And he chose Bedafka not to go the shortcut, but to walk down the main street to go to the Beis HaKnesses. And one of his close associates asked him, why are you doing this? So he said, I'm telling you the honest truth. When I walk in the street over here in the main street, there are people who are amaratzim. They're grois amaratzim. They're not even shom Shabbos. They know from nothing of nothing. And when they see me for a few moments, they stop what they're doing. They stop smoking, they stop whatever they're doing, they put on a yarmulke, and they stand in respect for the rabbina, for the rav. When the rabbi comes, you have derech eretz. I'm telling you, these people, this is the only schus that they have in their life. These people have nothing of nothing. I don't want to deny them this schus. They come to the next world. They don't have Torah, they don't have mitzvahs, they're not shomer Shabbos, but you know they have respect for a rabbi. If I don't walk in the street, if I go and I just go right into the shul in the back alley, I'm going to deny from them this chus. Let me give them this chus. They should have shown in their life covered honor to Hashem by giving honor to the rabbi. I need them to stand for me. I couldn't care less. I'd rather go right in the back alley. I get nothing from these people. But I want to give them this chus. They should stand up for a rabbi. Okay? That's a tremendous thing. Yeah.
I remember with the book it happened to, that whenever Rav Hutner would walk into the Beit HaMidrash, the whole place would stop learning and stand up. One time, he walked in, the whole place stood up, and there was one bacha that didn't stand up. And he was walking, and he saw the bacha that didn't stand up. He stopped over there, and he just looked at the bacha, and then he kept on walking. That boy ran. He ran to Rav. I asked him what happened. He said, I'm sorry. He said, it's okay. But he was very, very mocked.
That was his thing. He came to America.
That was.
We don't appreciate this because we live in a world, Baruch Hashem, he was victorious.
Yes.
Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva world today has a very great respect for Kavod HaTorah.
Right.
But you have to understand that a lot of these very strange stories we hear about him was in a different world.
Yes.
When he came to America, there was no such thing as Kavod HaTorah. A rabbi was a janitor. It was worse than a janitor. He spit on a rabbi. And a Rashiva used it was nothing. And he said, this is not the way it is. Look, there's a very famous story about his son, about Rav Yosher, son of Lichtenstein, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and a friend originally learned in Chaim Berlin. They were students in Chaim Berlin by Rav Yitzchok Kuttner. Rav Yitzchok Kuttner, as you just said, when he walked into the Beis Medrash, the whole Beis Medrash stood. They stood, covered up. That was what it was, one of his big things. That was unique, because that's not the way it was in the rest of the world. And it was a big blow to Chaim Berlin when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and his friend, they left. They left Chaim Berlin to learn at YU. They went to YU, Ritz, to learn by Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It was a big blow. Okay, that's what happened. So the first day of Shir, this is the way the story goes. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but this is the way they say it over in the books. The first day of Shir, the newsman of Aaron Lichtenstein and his friend are sitting there in the classroom that in the Shir of Rav Yosha Ber. Rav Yosha Ber is about to walk in the room. I don't know how many boys were there. It sounds like 25, 30 boys were in the classroom. And Rav Yosha Ber was about to walk in. He walks in. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and his friend who were trained by Rav Kuttner, they stand up like soldiers. Like soldiers. In honor of the chief, the Rav. The other boys in the class, this in shock. What are you doing? Like a joke. What are you two guys standing up? What are you doing? They're slouching around. And they're looking at these two guys, like, out of your mind. What are you doing over here? What is this, a joke over here? No, they stood up. They appreciated who Rav Yosha Ber was. The next day, the same thing. Rav Yosha Ber walks in. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and his friend, they stand up like soldiers. But the second day, the other boys in the class, they didn't stand. But they weren't surprised. They didn't slouch. And they didn't make litzanis like the day before. By the end of the week,
they all stood up.
When Rav Yosha Ber walked in, they all stood up. They gave him COVID. So the story goes that by the next event, when Rav Yosha Ber met Rav Kuttner by some wedding or some event, Rav Yosha Ber said to Rav Kuttner, I want to give you Yashar Koyach. You brought COVID HaTorah to YU. You were instrumental. You had an effect. These are your Talmidim. They came to learn by me. And with that, you brought a revolution. You brought a degree of Kavod HaTorah. People tell me we don't understand this. Because today, Baruch Hashem, it's so well understood to a degree in the yeshiva world, at least to their own. Okay, I can't say they have respect for everyone in the world. But at least in the yeshiva world itself, the Bnei HaYeshiva, to a degree, have very great respect for their own Rashi Yeshiva. We take it for granted. It's like it's not even possible to think otherwise. But that's not the way it was. Older people told me, you don't understand. It's not the way it was. There was no respect. It was like zero, sub-zero respect for Rashi Yeshiva Talmidei Chachamim. It's foreign to us, Baruch Hashem, because they were successful. And that's what it says over here. Sometimes demanding cover, you're not demanding cover for yourself, you're demanding cover for what's correct, what should be for the next generation. Obviously, it's a slippery slope. You get a little carried away with yourself, right? It's very dangerous. It's addictive. COVID. COVID is what brings down all of the best yeshivas were brought down because of fights over one thing. Not money, COVID. Okay? All of the best institutions and best shuls and best yeshivas were brought down over COVID. Because you know how many shuls were established in America because someone did not get the cover they felt they deserved, and therefore they went and they made their own shul.
The fight in Volozhin,
that wasn't about, what do you mean fight in Volozhin? What are you talking about? The fight in Volozhin, Rakefet, he says 1,000 times, the reason why the Volozhin yeshiva came to an end, the world says, was because, he always said, everyone says, I heard this 100 times, was because they wanted to introduce Limudei Chol into the curriculum. Right. This is what the world did. Wait. This is what they've been saying for generations. And because Yehoreg Val Yavar to introduce, you should tell us what to learn. Limudei Chol, better shut down the yeshiva. I've heard this only 1,000 times. So Rakevet says that he also thought that was correct, because that's what they told him for all the years. But very recently, and only in the last decade, even less maybe, there were documents released in Russia that were censored, that were classified, that had been released to the public, that discussed the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and it made it crystal clear that the Volozhiner Yeshiva was shut down by the government, by the Russians, for one reason only. They viewed the students and the teachers in the Volozhiner Yeshiva a threat to the government. They were too intelligent. They were too passionate about their studies. There was fighting in the yeshiva over COVID also. There was fighting, there was internal fighting over COVID, internal fighting over different things, and they saw they're such takifim, they're such zealots, and they're strong-minded people. The government was very delicate, and it wouldn't take much for someone to come along and topple the government by creating some rebellion. They're not looking for trouble, so the government shut down the yeshiva. They nipped the problem in the bud by shutting down the yeshiva. Nothing to do because they refused to accept into the curriculum in Mulichol, not because of internal COVID fighting amongst themselves. The government shut down the yeshiva. They just shut it down. They brought in the army. There's no more yeshiva here. We don't want this place over here. It's going to... You have to ask Rav Kefet. Email him.
There was a fight over the Musar.
They made their own yeshiva. They all left.
They didn't leave a yeshiva. There was no yeshiva at the end. Because there's a fight if you give it over to the son or the...
Nepotism. There was no nepotism in the olden days. They didn't have any respect. There was no such thing as nepotism. It was a different world. Also, we today think of a mashkiach. Today, yes, a regular boy. What do you think of the mashkiach? What kind of job is a mashkiach? Oh, mashkiach. Mashkiach, someone who doesn't know how to learn, just schmooze the whole day. So you make it a mashkiach. Mashkiach, you schmooze the whole day. You talk the whole day. It's a total nonsense job. It's a nonsense job. What?
In the
kitchen also, right, exactly. So that's the way it's viewed today. But it's not the way it was. Before they came to America, the mashkiach was the job that everyone wanted, not the Rashi. The Rashi was just an intellectual. He gave shiurim. The mashkiach was the one that set the tone of hashkafa. He's the one who molded you into a person, into a bal midos, into a mensch. He made you. He molded you. When you would want to look back on your life, who made me? Who made me who I am? It was the mashkiach. He was a bal musar. It wasn't the Rashiva. No, the Rashiva, he gave a shir. He gave a shir. He was a Rebbe in the yeshiva. Today, it's not like that. Today, it's a different world today. Today, the Rashiva is everything in most yeshivas. That's looked up to be the one all. He carries all of the positions. The Mashkiach is someone who just walks up and down the aisles and takes attendance. Okay, that's the way it's looked at today. It's a different world today. Okay, so we're getting back into Kavod. This one thing. What? Avigdor Miller. He was the Baal Musa. He was from a different world. Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller. He's had a new book. I'm very curious to read. This one. I'm curious to read. The other ones I'm not so curious to read. But the newest one, Rav Avigdor Miller on Olam Haba. I saw it yesterday. I saw a sign yesterday. I saw a picture of the book. Avigdor Miller on Olam Haba. I'm curious. I'm really curious to read that one.
He knows a lot about it.
In the case of the son, in front of the Rosh Yeshua, in his family, the Raita,
Let's go further. Let's move our boys side, please. L'chvayit Shemayim Asach L'fishakir Kavusach V'al Shekav L'boi Nisiz Aleimayim. Atoim oznecha linaval nuhalacha. Close your ear linaval v'chasar lev, and to a person that has no heart v'kavei lokel. Don't pay attention. Don't listen. Don't pay attention to people that have a novel. Disgusting people. Stay away from v'kavei lokel. Al tilag litais zulascha perish im chavercha yidcha. Do not laugh when your friend makes a mistake. Al tilag means do not mock. Litois zulos. You have to read the words backwards. When zuloscha means someone other than yourself litois, backwards, makes an error. Do not laugh at a person when they make a mistake. Ki eincha moishel b'divrei ficha, because it's not his fault. When a person says something foolish, if you hear someone speak and they say something foolish, it's usually not his fault. It's not, you don't always have control of what you say. Toiv shetidoyim v'yoyim adavah shal gnai olecha. Okay, very similar. When a person says something nasty about you, it's usually to your benefit to be quiet. If rather than speaking back, if someone insults you, these simplistic halachas, better be quiet, accept the insult, swallow it, then talk back and fight back. If he is a zokain, look at him like a yoinik. In other words, make believe he's a child. Make believe, no, it doesn't mean like that. It means even a person who is an older person, and so I'm not sure exactly what it means, but I think what he means over here is if a child insults you, do you fight with him? You don't bother with him. If a little kid comes over to you and a little kid comes over to you and does something to you, what, you're going to fight with him? The kid doesn't have any seichel. So he doesn't know what he's saying, he doesn't know what he's doing. Likewise, an older person who is a zokein, who should have intelligence, should have life experience, should be wise and clever not to say something so foolish and so nasty and so insulting. So you're very insulted. You are insulted. And you have a very great urge, a very great desire to talk back and say to him, how dare you talk to me like that? What kind of chutzpah is that to say something like this? He's giving us advice. Even a person who's a zokin, and there are a million reasons why this person should not speak to you in such a fashion. He should have enough seichel not to talk to you in such a fashion. Let it go. Just let it go. Make believe the zokin is a two-year-old child. If a two-year-old child would have said the same thing to me, would I consider it? Would I take it into consideration? I would just let it pass. The kid doesn't know what he's talking about. Just forget about it. Likewise, when a zokein says something insulting, just let it pass. Don't take it. The im who is zokein, zeh shekane chachma, chashoy v'yisoy kayonek, al tane oisoy kisil ke sichloy, don't answer him according to his nonsense. Oz yichabek yadav v'yichonek, just choke yourself. In other words, put your hand around your throat and keep your mouth shut. Don't get into a fight. Next. Al tigale le'oy havcha shum davar shetastir misoynecha. Do not reveal secrets. Okay, do not reveal to your friend anything that you hide from your enemy. Okay, anything that you hide from your enemy, davar shetastir misoynecha, im loy bechant. Unless you've tested your friend many, many times that he knows how to keep a secret. To be an oyv neman, the day may come where he'll be your enemy, and he will now be armed with your best secrets. In other words, let's review what's happening. If you have an enemy, would you reveal a state secret to an enemy? Of course not. You're a fool. It's treason to reveal the secrets to your enemy. Now, you have a friend. He's your buddy. So you know what? Him I can trust. Really? You can trust him? Maybe the day will come when he will be your enemy. And if he'll be your enemy and he knows this information, it's not going to be to your benefit. So therefore, don't be swept away. Just because you're in a good, merry mood and you're schmoozing, you want to give over some information because you think he's your friend, is this fellow really your friend? The day will come when he'll be your enemy. He'll be your enemy. It's a Gilgal HaChoyzer Be'olam. A rabbi once told me the secret to rabbanus is, how do you survive if you're a professional rabbi and your contract is always up for renewal? How do you survive? The way you survive is, all the balabatim who control your, who vote for you, should not be your enemy all at the same time. There's no way in the course of a career in Rabbanus, every single one of the Balabatim will be your archenemy at some point in time. But then you win them over, they become your friends. And then you lose them, and you win them. It's a cycle. It's a Gilgul HaChoyzer in your relationship with your Balabatim. The goal is, they all should not be your enemy at the same time. Always keep some your friends, some your enemy. So since at some point in time they're going to become your enemy, don't let them have information that can be damaging for you. So that's what he's saying, something very profound. Al, one more time, Al tegale le'oyhavcha, do not reveal to your beloved friend shum dover, any information that you would hide from your enemy, shetastir misoin echa. Why? Because the day will come and he'll be your enemy. Unless you are so certain that this fellow will never, ever, ever be your enemy. Who can say that about someone? That this person was so close, can never, ever be possible. I once had a person I really thought can never be my enemy. Never. And now, I'm not on speaking terms with him. It's unbelievable. I really thought this person can never happen.
Will you give away your secrets?
I cannot. No, I didn't give anything away to him. But like, I really feel he betrayed me in a very, very big way. I am not on speaking terms with him for a long time. And I never in my wildest dreams thought this could happen. And it's a very powerful lesson for me in life. And he's telling you over here, don't give away information that may one day come back and haunt you. He'll be a beloved friend unless you're absolutely certain that he will always be your friend. Pen, because the day may come, he will reveal your secret. If you know someone else's secrets, don't you dare. That's the worst thing you can do, to hang up someone else's dirty laundry. If you know someone's secret, v'soid acher al tegal l'shum adam imloy birishusoy, don't ever reveal someone else's secret. Kolala shel chochma shesika, the rule of wisdom is silence. Mila b'sela, if one word is worth a sela, shesikusa, betraying silence is gold and is worth two coins. Kishani medaber ani mischadet, when a person speaks, you always come around to having regret. You never have charata over being quiet. Never. Never happens. I should have told them this, should have told that. Never. But how often do you have charata? Why did I reveal this information? Before a person opens up your mouth, you should be a shalit. You should make sure you're in control of your words. Until you reveal something, you're the master. You're the master, only you know it. Once you give it over, it's out in the open, you're no longer in control.
You're a master of unspoken word.
Then the words control you. You said this, you said that. You become a slave. Once your words go out in public, this is what you said. Everyone now tries to mold you in their image of what you said. They interpret your words. A lot of the Gedolei Yisrael, they do this too. They do this to all the Gedolei Yisrael. After they die, everyone now tries to mold them in their image. They take what they said. They take what they said, and now they make them into a Play-Doh, right? He said this, which means we interpret his words in such a fashion. He is part of the modern Orthodox world. He's part of open Orthodoxy. He's part of the Haredi world. They do this all the time. They take Gedolim from the previous generations. They take their words and they mold them and shape them. Once something comes out of your mouth, you become a slave to what you have said. Horrible thing. Pezayin, v'nosan l'cho rachamim, v'ri chamcho, Hashem will give you, will bring upon you rachamim. Hamerachem alabrios min hashemayim yirachem olaf. He's interpreting this passage to mean that if a person is mida k'neged mida, if you show compassion upon someone else, Hashem will have compassion upon you. In ein adam rachamon ma beinoy lebein behema sheina makpedes v'chesheshes l'tzar chaverita. He's teaching us here an incredible chiddush. It's not so simple what this means, because we do find animals have compassion upon other. Yeah, what does this mean exactly? go out into the zoo. You go to the zoo, you will see, you'll read books. You do find that animals do show compassion upon their fellow creatures. They do show. There's no doubt about it. How then can Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid make a statement that says that a man should show compassion to another fellow man? Because if you do not show compassion to another fellow man, you're no different than an animal that has no compassion to another animal. What does he mean? The answer is obvious, is that even if you'll go out into the world and you'll study animals, and you'll go and you'll watch National Geographic, you'll watch the History Channel, you'll watch Chavisas, you'll go watch all of these things, and you'll see how animals compassion, the degree of compassion that an animal shows another animal is nothing compared to the compassion that a human being is obligated to show his fellow human being. It's no question animals have compassion. No doubt about it. Study. Try to find a hechatimsa. Ask the Google Hadar for examples of animals showing compassion to their fellow animal, and then compare it, create for yourself a similar situation among human beings, and understand the obligation of man, of what he has to do to his fellow man in exactly that situation. And the Sefer Chasidim is saying, it better be a lot more. Don't just imitate the degree of compassion that you will find that one animal has to another. It better be infinitely more, because if it's not, then you're just an animal. And a human being's role is to go above and beyond an animal. And that relates to the degree and the response of how much rachmanis a person should show someone else. I know someone this week, he went away somewhere far away, and he met someone there, and he was talking to him involved, and the person happened to mention that he has a mother in a nursing home here in Brooklyn, somewhere in a small nursing home. Oh, very interesting. They have a little friendship, so he comes back here, locally, where he lives, and he remembered the conversation, so he called up a florist, and he sent flowers to this person's mother in this nursing home. He gets a call from her after Shabbos with lavish brachas, thanking him for the flowers. She was blown away that this stranger sent her flowers after meeting her son on the other end of the world. She couldn't get over it. He sent it to her again, and he created a relationship with her because this incident of just doing chesed. And he sends her every single week, he sends her flowers. He went on Purim, had nothing better to do on Purim. He went to see for the first time. He went to bring her a mishloach, a woman who was 95 years old in a nursing home. He went to bring her a mishloach manos. And he was so moved by this small, what he considered to be such a small act of kindness. He goes, travels to the other end of the world, he meets someone, they start talking. Oh, you come from here. You know my mother, I have a mother, an elderly mother, she's in a nursing home a few blocks away where you live, whatever. Really interesting, very interesting. And he comes home, he sends her flowers. And it starts a relationship, and he goes to Bezer Mishloach Manos. He was so overwhelmed, this pair of Shabbos, you know what he did? He called up the florist, and he said, I want you to bring flowers to every woman in this nursing home. This Shabbos gets flowers. Every single woman in the whole nursing home. And all, how did it start? A guy, he went on a trip, vacation, in Yehupitz, and there he meets the guy. It's a true story. This story, I know firsthand every detail of the story. Okay, so do you have such a thing by animals? Do you have such a degree of chesed by animals? No way. You watch National Geographic, you'll see some, wow, look how animals, they have such rachmanis on each other. They got each other's back. Okay, very, very nice. You're not going to have this by animals. And that is what the Sefer Chasidim is saying. That's what's demanded of a human being. A human being is not an animal. All right, I'll stop here, take a short break. We learned today about Baal Tishaksu. Baal Tishaksu. Do not make yourself, do not do disgusting things. In this week's parish, a parish of Shmini, there's a prohibition for a person not to eat shirotzen. Do not eat creepy crawlers because creepy crawlers are disgusting.
What verse?